now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, as promised, we'll give you that copy of Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Spanish as we play a round of Wheel of Hendry. So give us a call at 1-800-449-8686. Guess which of the many characters and guests we have on our show will pop up. If you guess correctly, you win a copy of Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Spanish. 1-800-449-8686. You don't have to speak Spanish to enjoy Texas Chainsaw Massacre. How do I know? I saw it in English, and, you know, I didn't get it either. Just when is someone too drunk to be served up another drink at a bar? And if you have the answer to that, give us a call. 1-800. No, I'm kidding. Just when is someone too drunk to be served up another drink at a bar? An Associated Press review of 700 liquor violations in Montana. Why do those things just go together like a hand in glove? Liquor violation, Montana. Over the past decade, found just 4 instances in which businesses were cited for serving booze to someone already drunk. The problem, say law enforcement officers and industry representatives, is determining when a customer is too drunk for another drink. It's a very difficult situation for everyone, said Jeff Bryson, investigative chief for the State Justice Department, which oversees liquor licenses. The bar industry doesn't want to be in the business of serving drunk customers, but it's not always easy for a bartender to tell. Since when is it tough just to say you don't get another drink? You mean the quiet guy that doesn't say anything, the very... the very laconic to himself, the guy sort of sitting over a beer. He may be very quietly contemplating something over a beer. All you got to do is just poke him with your finger. If he falls over, he might be asleep with his eyes open. All right, for our Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Spanish, Tony.
Hey.
Here is John. John.
Yes.
How you doing, man?
Doing well.
All right. The Wheel of Hendry is played this way. We spin the wheel, and then it lands on either Jeff Dowder, Art Griego, Chris Norton, Vernon Dozier, Colleen Kristen Brewster, David G. Hall, Margaret, Dean Wheeler, Chef Chodilia, Lloyd, or Bobby. And you have to guess which one of those characters Wheel of Hendry will land on. And if you're right, you got a copy of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Spanish.
All right.
All right, dude. So which one do you think is the wheel's going to land on?
It's going to land on Jeff today.
Jeff Dowder? Here we go.
Yes.
Say you, say, ah, my nuts.
That was Lloyd, man, Lloyd. You want to try it again?
Sure, Bobby Dooley.
Bobby Dooley, let's see. Oh, my nuts. Here we go.
Look, I'm not immune to crabs the way you are.
Who's that?
Bobby,
oh, that
inside.
Was Margaret. That was Margaret.
Oh, Margaret.
The only way we know that was Margaret is her. She talks about crabs more than Bobby. Listen, man, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Gave you the big shot there, but you never know. Let's go over to Erica. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Good. All right. Which character is Wheel of Hendry going to land on here for Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Spanish?
Margaret Gray.
Margaret. Here we go.
I like you, but you've said some things that are personal. I would never let my clone associate with your clone.
That was Chris Norton, dear.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to try another one?
Okay, Bobby Dooley.
Bobby
my
Dooley.
Favorite.
Here we go.
So you don't want to tell me whether you have a bowel movement every day, and you don't want to tell me whether your daughter does.
That's David G. Hall.
Oh, it's David G. Hall.
Well,
oh,
listen. Thank you.
Thank you
for
playing.
Have a good night. Thanks for calling us. Bye. You lose. Let's go over to Matt. Hi, Matt. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there.
Hi. Ready?
Yep.
Which character?
Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Dozier.
You just said something I think we got to back up on. You tell me that a gumball machine's not dangerous.
That's
okay?
Jeff, man.
Yeah. RC.
Now another one? RC?
Yep.
Go ahead.
I'll give him the backstage pass once a year with liquid
Bobby.
Butter.
Darn.
Okay, yeah, it's Bobby. Thanks, brother. See you later. Well, look at that. Backstage pass once a year with liquid butter. Speaking of your backstage pass, don't forget philhenryshow.com for all your backstage pass needs. Let's go over to Scott. Hey, Scott, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
All right, which character is it? Bobby Dooley, Lloyd, Chef Chodilia, Dean Wheeler, Margaret Gray, David G. Hall, Colleen, Vernon, Chris, Art, or Jeff?
Dean Wheeler.
Dean Wheeler, who was just on our show yesterday, by the way, talking about his wife who was arrested for multiple homicides in the 70s.
Cake, then. Can I use your pig? I want to cook it, Leland.
That was Chef Chodilia.
Oh,
we'll
wow.
give you one more, Scott.
Well, I was going to say Jay Santos, but he's not on the list.
No, he ain't on the list. You're right.
Margaret Gray.
All right, let's see. Jesus, when's somebody going to win this freaking movie so we can move on with our lives? Come on.
My man wants you. Just bend over and spread and wait. It'll be over soon.
That's Margaret.
Hey.
So, oh, that was Colleen? No, I think that's Margaret.
Oh, it's Margaret.
Is that what you guessed?
It's Margaret.
Is that what you guessed?
Yeah.
All right, you win, man.
All right.
Play that again.
When a man wants you, just bend over and spread and wait. It'll
that's
be
Colleen,
over
yeah. No, it ain't Margaret, man.
Oh, come
sorry
on.
Sorry about that. Yeah, get out of here. All right. Somebody's got to win. Let's go over to Chris. Chris, hi. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. Wheel of Henry, which one?
I'm going to take Art.
Art Griego.
We can be on time, on fire, or we could be late with everybody alive. What do you want to do?
Okay, that's Art Griego.
Yay.
Way to do it, man. You're the winner of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Spanish CD. Was he talking to us from an airplane there? I could hear airplanes in the background. All right, hold the line, Chris, and we'll get all the pertinent information and mail it out to you. Do you want an autograph, by the way?
Please.
Okay, well, I did. I autographed it anyway in case he said no. He had no choice. Okay, there's Chris on line two, the big winner here. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Going back to a recent Phil Henry Show, our flashback of the day features R.C. Collins talking about his desire to fight in Afghanistan.
Phil Henry, flashback.
Is he saying, R.C., are you saying that you're ready to go and fight a war?
Sir, I'm ready to go wherever it takes to protect my country and to protect my people.
To protect your country and your people.
Yes,
do you
sir.
Not think this country's not protecting itself real well right now?
I believe, sir, that we have stumbled into a situation in Afghanistan that was promulgated by the baby boomers and the yuppies who have lived a soft life, who are not hardened.
A soft life.
You've
got the best president you've ever been under in the office right now taking care of business, and you want to sit here at 16 years old and think that you can do a better job?
We can do stuff
with the adults. You can't do a damn thing, son. You're 16 years old. You
sir,
can't even piss right yet.
Sir, I respect our commander-in-chief.
You don't respect you Nazi bastard. You're an idiot.
All right, Joe, you got to watch your language, okay?
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind.
Sir, I will, I'll ignore your last comment. Otherwise, no. I might get mad.
Well, get mad. You're
what
16
is that?
Years old.
What's that supposed to mean?
Are you from a rich, yuppie family that your daddy didn't kick your butt enough growing up?
Sir, my father rarely visits me. He's an attorney who
I'd
is traveling internationally.
Not. I'd imagine not. If I had a son like you, I wouldn't visit him either because you're an idiot.
I hope someday to win my father's love back.
I doubt you'll ever do it, but being the way you are.
My father will be proud of me once I go to Afghanistan and start to take a few names
brother,
down.
Brother, when you go to Afghanistan, you'll come back in a sack.
I doubt that very much, sir.
I
believe I will be the one. I will find Mullah Omar, and I will bring him back at bayonet point.
Let me tell you, this government has got the people over there that can do the job, and you just need to sit back in your house in your recliner and watch TV because that's where you're safest, playing Nintendo, because that's what you grew up doing.
Sir, there is
Sony
nothing
PlayStation
that would,
and Nintendo.
Sir, there is nothing that would make me prouder than to be the first to train a group of eager 10-year-olds to go into the cave, to bring out Osama bin Laden's head on the end of my bayonet.
You know what you would do? You would send a bunch of kids in there, and you'd get every one of them killed.
Get them all killed.
Come back and face their parents.
I believe, sir,
what would happen to you and whoever you carried over there.
Sir, I believe a cadre of well-trained, sharpened 10-year-olds could skin bin Laden and make a hunting vest out of him. And I will tell you, sir...
Oh, come on. A bunch of 10-year-old kids against these Al-Qaeda guys? These guys are suicide-bound.
We got a few tricks up our sleeve.
You ain't got nothing up your sleeve.
Sir, are you aware of the fact...
You can't even think, right, boy. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Sir, you're aware of a young boy at the age of 10 or 11 entering puberty, correct?
You're aware of that, right?
I can tell you that transmuting that pubescent energy into fighting energy, into the kind of energy that went into the cave where Sheikh Mullah Omar lives, and turn him into a squealing pig.
You would be over there crying like a little girl.
If you
was there right now. You would be over there crying like a little girl, wishing that your daddy would come and save you.
Joe, I will understand those comments in light of the fact that you're probably embarrassed for sitting on your sweet country butt when 9/11 went down.
Do you think that's what I've been doing, son? I was in the Navy. I'd kick your ass all over God and everywhere else. If you think for one second that your 16-year-old butt could go over and do better than the guys I was in the military with, you're an idiot, boy.
You're
a straight idiot.
What were you doing at 9/11, sir, when the flower of our country was being assaulted by these terrorist bastards? You were sitting down there shooting squirrel. Well, I can assure you, sir, that that will not be the case with my generation.
I can tell you what's going to happen with your generation because I sit and watch y'all grow up. You're going to be a bunch of...
Look at you. You can't even think right, sir. Your words are all tied up.
You're right. They are tied up because I got to watch what I say on the radio.
I can assure you, sir, that we will protect you and all of your... whatever you want to call them, relatives.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, now, wait a second.
Let me tell you something.
You're beginning to get a little condescending here, R.C.
Why shouldn't I be condescending with your generation, raised on drugs, raised on hallucinogenics, listening to foul rock music, and disrespecting your country?
Everybody you know around you is on drugs. My generation wasn't raised on
your
drugs.
Your generation burned
my
the flag.
My generation was raised
your generation was the first generation to burn the American flag.
My generation was the last
Anybody
generation
Anybody burn a flag in my presence,
that
I'll...
your daddy could actually kick your butt when you deserved it and you couldn't go to nobody and say scan like that.
I'll twirl bin Laden's head off the end of my bayonet.
Oh, come on, kid. This is Al-Qaeda.
I've got balls as hard as trailer hitches. I'm not afraid.
All right.
That's because you must be stupid, boy. You're just stupid.
Don't worry, Joe.
I can tell you're 16 years old because
What were you doing when 9/11 went down?
I was working while you were sleeping, son.
You were working at what? Working at pounding your pecker?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Aren't you? You're talking to your superiors here. You're talking to the older generation.
Yeah, a bunch of pecker pounders.
He doesn't know no better because if he did, he wouldn't be up here doing what he's doing right now.
You were working at doing what, sir? I demand your answer now. Now, give me your answer.
You little asshole. You little.
I'm an asshole, am I? You know what I'd like to do, Mr. Hendry? Meet you in an open field. Just knives and no shirts.
Hey,
just knives.
Meet me in an open field, and you bring your knife, and I won't bring nothing. And I will stick it plumb up your ass.
Sir, I will be spinning your head up.
Yeah, at the end of your bayonet. Bug off, kid.
Bill Hendry's flashback.
Now, which line in there was your favorite? Balls as hard as trailer hitches is pretty good. But you're sitting on your sweet country ass has got to go down. No, it was, you're sitting on your sweet country butt. And then there was another line in there. I forget what it was, but it had something to do with, I don't know. I'd like to lead Sheikh Omar out of the cave at bayonet point. Me and a cadre of sharpened 10-year-olds could make a hunting vest out of him. Skin him and make a hunting vest out of him. Wow. R.C. Collins, one of the greats, now going to... Military Academy. Can you still hear the phlegm in my throat here? Dude, this cough has been going on for like a month and a week, so that would be, I guess, 5 weeks. And I finally called a doc up last week, and he put me on that Z-Pak antibiotic thing. And it's now just kind of loosening up and going away, I think. This is the way it's been sounding, though, for a month. Must be some kind of an allergy. Or it's lung cancer. Can't decide. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. An American judge has refused to stop the sale of a cartoon porn spoof of Star Wars. Lucasfilm is suing the producers of Star Balls for copyright and trademark infringement. But the judge says it is extremely unlikely fans will be taken in by any similarities because Star Wars is so famous. George Lucas says that similarities between the two films could confuse consumers. Oh, he's got to be kidding with that. One of them's animated and the other one is live action. One of them's called Star Balls and the other is the very classic Star Wars. He claims they might think Lucasfilm sponsored or produced Star Balls. But San Francisco Judge Claudia Wilkin has ruled there is little likelihood of confusion between the two films. The Star Wars films are so famous that it's extremely unlikely that consumers would believe that Star Balls is associated with Star Wars or Lucasfilm, said Judge Wilkin. In the film, Princess Leia is called Princess Lamy. Han Solo is Hump Solo. CP3O is See Me P Now. Luke Skywalker is Lick Sky Sucker. R2-D2 is I Do You Too. Obi-Wan Kenobi is Oh, I Want You In Me. And Chuba. Actually, that wasn't the movie. That was Janice who wrote that swill. That's who you'd like to see in that movie, Janice. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Oh, I Want You In Me. Yikes! And the producer is, you got it, George Lickass. All right, now, moving along, how could the guy, there's absolutely no reason why George Lucas filed that lawsuit other than that he just didn't like anybody, you know, riffing on his movie. He didn't like anybody doing a number on his movie, and he got upset about it. There's no way that he's going to win that, and he knows it. But they used the best legal argument that they could possibly use, which is that it is it's a possible copyright infringement in that people are going to confuse the two films. It's ridiculous. However, I can assure you, George, I'm not going to see Star Balls any more than I'm going to see Star Wars again. And what about that movie Spaceballs? Did you sue Mel Brooks? No, you didn't sue Mel Brooks because his movie wasn't funny. The Star Balls apparently is. That's when you sue a guy, man, when he's doing something that's so funny, he's doing a number on you. And that's why I've been sued twice. Twice. I ain't going to say by who, and I ain't going to say for what. I've been sued twice. And I'll tell you that both times it had something to do with how funny the show was. Look, now I got both Janice, I got Chris, and I got Craig staring at me. Who sued you? I told you guys already. 1-800-449-8686. NFL weekend coming up. Yes, you're right, Chris. It was Shaq O'Neal. Okay, no, it wasn't Shaq. Although, I got to tell you something about Shaq O'Neal if you care to know. It's kind of an interesting story in that the first night that we were on the air in Los Angeles, we did a whole bit about Shaq O'Neal playing for the Lakers. Because the first year we were on the air in L.A. was the first year that he was playing basketball for the Lakers. Back in 96, back in the fall of 96. We did this whole bit, and the Laker attorneys called the next day and threatened to sue us. And we said, no, you don't understand. The show is satirical in nature, and we didn't mean any harm to Mr. O'Neal. And what we were talking about, basically, is that he wanted to quit basketball, and he wanted to do Shakespeare in the Park in tights. That he wanted to go do dinner theater. You know, he really got off on that whole, what was the name of the movie? Shazam? He really got off on that experience. Kazam. He got off on the experience of making Kazam to the point where he now wanted to involve himself in theatrics and the thespian pursuit full time. So he wants to do Shakespeare in the Park, and he doesn't want to keep doing garbage like Kazam. Wanted to do murder mysteries, wanted to do Murder, She Wrote, wanted to do another, you know, Father, what's his name? What's the Dick Van Dyke murder movie, murder thing? Whatever, man. I don't know anybody that watches it. I think it's been canceled, although I hear it's pretty good. Anyway, make a long story short, diagnosis murder. Make a long story short, the Lakers called. We said, well, no, we don't mean to do that, and we didn't mean. And so Shaq sent us a signed basketball. Do you think I have that basketball? No. The general manager of the radio station, as general managers will do, took the basketball from me. Now he has it. Why? Well, because he wanted it and I didn't get to have it. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You know, the guy that tried to set fire to his shoes, he pled innocent. He didn't do that. He was not setting fire to his shoes. Okay, man accused of trying to blow up a transatlantic flight with bombs in his shoes pled innocent Friday. He, 28-year-old British citizen named Richard Reed, answered not guilty to eight charges, including the attempted murder of 197 passengers. He appeared in U.S. District Court in heavy shackles, looking down during much of the briefing. He was initially charged with interfering with a flight crew. The new terrorism charges issued Wednesday accuse him of having been trained in Afghanistan by the Al-Qaeda terrorist network and of attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. There's a new law that says if you blow up any, if you try to blow up or try to destroy any mass transit vehicle, it's a federal offense, right? And this guy's lawyer is arguing that that law only applies to ferries, buses, and trolley cars. And trains. Not airplanes. He was subdued by flight attendants, yada, yada, yada. If it weren't for them, this most definitely would have been a disaster, said Charles Prouty, special agent in charge of the Boston FBI. His case is being prosecuted in Boston because the plane was diverted to the city's Logan International Airport. Anyway, the attorney said that the charge, that there is a potential defect in it. She questioned whether the American flight would qualify for the charge. To allege that a 767 airplane is a vehicle, let alone is a vehicle used in urban mass transit, is a stretch. Wow. Wow. I want her for my lawyer. You know, my kids, they think being a lawyer. I said to my second oldest son, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a lawyer. These days, people say lawyers, well, not these days, but in recent times, lawyers have been the butt of a lot of jokes, and everybody thinks that lawyers are scum to some degree. I don't know how that started, but I suspect, in fact, I don't suspect, I know for a fact, anybody that says a lawyer is a piece of crap was on the losing end of some legal case. I don't care who you're talking about. The people that started all that lawyers are pieces of crap talk, were on the losing, got their ass kicked by a lawyer. That's why they're talking that way. Or they were too stupid to know that they never had a case to begin with, and they brought it to the attorney anyway, and the guy did his best and couldn't win it, and so they think the lawyer is the one that screwed them, not their own dumb plan to try and sue somebody for whatever it is that they thought they could sue him for. But anyway, our second oldest son has talked about wanting to be an attorney. And I said, well, okay, but let me just show you something, okay? So we got out the yellow pages and we opened up the yellow pages. And it was page after page after page after page after page of lawyer. I said, dude, you're going to have to take out another yellow pages ad in here. Try to get noticed. That's a lot of competition, you know. And he goes, I don't care. I'll take out one of those big full-page drunk driving ads. Yeah. That's what I want to be. Oh, you want to be one of those drunk driving guys? Right. You know, just call in the middle of the night or something. Send out another attorney. Deal with all the drunk driving guys. Yeah, okay. You know, there used to be a time when lawyers didn't advertise. It was considered to be, wasn't unethical. It was considered to be sort of beneath them. It was not protocol for an attorney to advertise any more than it is a doctor. Doctors and lawyers didn't advertise. Now you see them advertising, they got no problem with it. Whether it's that Larry Parker cat with all those accidents or some other guy that specializes in drunk driving or somebody else that specializes, I don't know. Now doctors, of course, do it. Plastic surgeons, guys that do the hair implant things, dentists, you know. And a lot of these dentists, you go to these dental offices now, they have TV screens on the ceiling, and they have virtual reality visors, and they have Walkmans, and they have all kinds of tremendous, tremendous stuff. They have that special gas that you can breathe. So you're choosing your dentist as not based on whether this guy actually got out of medical school, but whether he had any cool games in his Nintendo game, you know, his Nintendo machine, right? Maybe the guy got like an F. Well, he's got a lot of really good games. His Nintendo machine, man. He has a really good Walkman. Yeah, but he's like drilling the wrong tooth. You idiot. They got that Twilight sleep gas. What is that? Ain't nothing I want to use. Do you want to use that Twilight sleep gas? Every day you use that Twilight sleep gas. It's called something else. And we won't get into what it's called. Twilight sleep gas. Wow. I had some of that stuff. It's like flavored nitrous oxide is what it is. Makes your voice slow down to do that. I don't know what it is, but it's a lot of dentists have got that stuff. I think the dentists and lawyers ought to sort of cross-pollinate their businesses. I think some lawyers ought to start using Twilight sleep gas on their clients. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. That's why you don't like those lawyers, because they beat you in court. And this weekend, oh man, this weekend is going to be the third to the last weekend in the professional football season. This weekend we've got Oakland and New England, we've got Green Bay playing St. Louis, we've got a few other games, and I just love to watch the football games, and it's going to be over soon. And you know what? Football is beautiful simply because, unlike baseball or basketball or any other sport, it only lasts 16 weeks. And then it is done. So people say they don't like that sport. You ought to thank your lucky stars it's only 16, 17 weeks long, and then it's done. That's it. No more football. But, man, do I love it. I like watching it. I like drinking beer while I'm watching it. I like betting on the games. I like losing bets on the games. I like winning them. I like shooting pool while I'm watching the football games. I like playing poker while I'm watching those games. And I saw a game, last game of the season. I got the kids gathered around and I said, this is football. I want you to look at this and I want you to take this in, because this is a football game. It was the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game, and it was snowing. And I mean the snow was coming down. And I said, that's the Cleveland Browns, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're playing the game in probably the greatest football city in America, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there's snow coming down. And then one of the kids said, what's that man drinking? I said, that's a hip flask. And that man... They flashed the crowd, and the guy pulled out a little flask, and he took a knock on it, and he put it back in. He wasn't going ape. He wasn't screaming and yelling. He was just sitting there comfortably enjoying the ball game, getting very slowly wasted. No, he wasn't cold. He was wearing a ski cap. He had his jacket on. Excuse me. He was wearing a ski cap and his jacket on. The guy was digging it. He was loving life. Man, that is football. And my kids are looking at this going, it's snow, and it's like outdoors, and it's on grass, and it's like everything you don't know, right? Yeah, well, pretty much. And here's my plan to make the postseason more exciting. Quit having a Super Bowl in a neutral site under a dome. You got to stop with that right now. You got all these playoff games that are played, and they're exciting. They're played in the home field of different teams, and sometimes it's outdoors, and sometimes it's indoors, and sometimes it's cold as hell, and sometimes it's like 80 degrees. All you got to do is make the Super Bowl the same way. You play it on the home field of the team with the best record, and you call that the Super Bowl. And, man, if it's in, if it's outdoors in Foxborough, if it's up in Buffalo, if it's at Soldier Field and there's a blizzard out, you got yourself a Super Bowl. Now, they like the kind when the fans used to run on the field and rip the goalpost down. Whatever happened in those days when people would tear down goalposts? What, a goalpost all of a sudden get expensive? They started making them out of fiberglass instead of wood? Anyway, that's tomorrow. Can't wait. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Next week, we're going to feature a couple of classic hours from the Phil Henry Show. One of them, Lloyd Bonafide went to a wedding and gave the groom a power drill. The groom died about a week after he was married, and so Lloyd tried to break into the guy's garage and get his power drill back. That next week, as well as Chris Norton's idea for a new reality show, Diet Island. Diet Island is where you are fat, and they show you all these really hot-looking chicks. And so, in order to go to bed with one of them, you've got to lose weight on Diet Island. So that's coming up next week on our classic week of Phil Hendry shows. And where am I going to be? I have no idea. I think I'm going to stay home. Stay home and eat. Okay, Hank Azaria's first television show has been dumped by NBC. It was called Imagine That, and he played a comedy writer. You know, these shows that get canned after like 2 weeks. Boy, who's the brain surgeon? These guys know that much, huh? They know that much that like 2 weeks, the thing isn't instantaneously a smash. They got to pull it right off the lineup, right? I mean, things must be really competitive. People must be really worried about losing their jobs. Those parking spaces over there, whatever the network is, whatever the studio is, wherever it is that these guys work, they must be at a premium. 2 weeks, this guy's show is gone. You think of a show that was like on... You want to know a show that got canceled that I loved? It was an old show on called Police Squad. It was done by the same guys that did Airplane. Police Squad is like a classic. Okay, guess what? The geniuses over there at whatever network it was, I can't even remember. Yeah, it was the one with Leslie Nielsen. It was really funny. It got canned, man. After 1 year, they did 13 episodes, and that was it. And it was pulled. And you want to know why? It was too funny. Okay, that show was yanked. I mean, you can give the Star Trek example for, you know, I mean, it was like 3 years that thing was on the air, and they pulled it because it sucked. And now it only, how much money do you think Star Trek has made? Like, could you buy a country? You could buy two countries with the money that Star Trek has made. Who's the brain surgeon? Can we find out? Can we forensically track which was the guy who said, you know, we're looking at the fall lineup here for 1960. That's Star Trek. Get it out of here. Yes, sir, Mr. Brown. Yeah, it sucks. It'll never do anything. Get it out of here. And I was told by people that were involved with The Simpsons that they thought The Simpsons, the network, thought The Simpsons was a turd when they first put that on the air. What's it been now, 13 years? And they said 13 and out, man, which is TV talk for 13 weeks, and it's gone. The brain surgeons that shepherded that project, I'm not talking about the people who created it, the Matt Groenings and people like that. I'm talking about the first people that produced that show for that network thought, well, this is a real piece of crap. Let's just do it and get out of here. Let's move on to something really fun, like let's try to bring the Tracy Ullman show back, huh? And it is gone. The Simpsons has outlasted everything on that network, including, is X-Files Fox? That's history, man. X-Files didn't last anywhere near as long as The Simpsons. Remember how everybody was just in love with The X-Files? Everybody had a real sexual, like it was moist. What do you mean, didn't they say 13 weeks and out? That's what I just said.
You didn't say 13 weeks
and out. Yeah, I said 13 and out. How long did X-Files last? 9 seasons, nowhere near as long as The Simpsons. What else? Married with Children. How long did that last? That's like 3-4 seasons. The point that I'm trying to make here is that nobody knows. Nobody knows. But after a guy screws up and lets a really great show go, they really ought to... All right, what are you telling me? You're saying Star Trek blows. Yeah, it totally sucks. Okay, what's your name? You know what my name is. I just want to make sure. It's Bobby... Bobby Lewis. Bobby Lewis, you're a jackass if Star Trek goes on to make billions and billions. Oh, shit, I don't care. Go ahead. Call me a jackass. Take out a full-page ad. That show sucks. Let's get it off the schedule. Let's get something really cool going, man. Let's bring, I don't know, let's bring Laugh-In back. And now you could buy 6 countries with the jack that thing has made. And Ellen... Is that still on or not? Is it still on? And Janice, should it still be on? I haven't seen Ellen. It's off Friday night, so I'm going to watch it tonight. I think I'll go home tonight, and I think I'll watch Ellen tonight. I'll do what I did with that one Friday night that I stayed home with my wife. She made Greek food, and we sat down, and we watched Ellen. And we got drunk, and then we made love on the floor of some room, I forget which one. And it was not because we had watched Ellen. It was some other reason. It might have been the booze. But in any event, we watched Ellen. I said, geez, I really like the way the show starts out. It's kind of cool. It has a really cool opening graphic, really cool opening animation. And then I didn't get what the show was about after that. She came home to her mother and her sister, who hate her living guts, is all I got out of it. Her mother and her sister don't want her home, and she's home anyway because she wants to bond. Is that it? Anyway, the show's still on the air. I hope it stays on the air just to bug people. Just remember, there's a show about a lesbian still on the air. So they pull these shows. Well, X-Files is gone. X-Files has been canceled. X-Files is canceled. We got to get Craig up to speed here. He didn't hear me say 13 weeks and out, and he didn't hear me say that X-Files has been canceled. He's looking at me going, X-Files is still on. You know what you're thinking about? You're thinking about your girlfriend in Japan right now in the arms of some, karaoke singer. I'm kidding. I'm sure that she's very faithful to you for now. Do you ever worry about that, man? Nikki over there in Tokyo and all those... Well, on second thought, Nikki over there in Tokyo and all those Japanese men, you got nothing to worry about. When that dude that played Agent Muldaur left the show, X-Files started to blow chunks, didn't it? I mean, I don't know. Isn't that the popular consensus, though? Who was that guy that played Agent Muldaur? David Duchovny. And now they have Robert Patrick, who's terrific. He's a great actor. I don't know why anybody wouldn't like the guy. I guess he's too good of an actor. Scully is splitting, too. Well, that's... Okay, well, there you go. That's why they're canceling. X-Files was a show that, I mean, I remember it wasn't too long, about 2 years ago, it was it. 2-3 years ago, that was the show. It was the best show on TV, and now it's off, man. Undeclared. That's a great show. Never heard of it, have you? Neither has anybody else. It's a great show. It's being canceled. And what bothers me is I think I was going to be on that show next year. They found out I was going to be on that show, and they pulled the plug on it. What, you're going to hire Henry as a guest star? Yeah, okay. You know, it just so happens we're pulling the plug on that show. What other shows? You know, I always liked Twin Peaks, me and one other guy. Me and a homeless guy. We loved Twin Peaks. We were the only two that watched it. God damn, that was a great show. Great and weird. Gone, off the air. See ya. Moesha. It's still on? Okay, never mind. And you know what other show I really dug, man? I wish they'd put it back in reruns. Incredible Hulk. That was the bomb, especially when he says, you wouldn't like me very much when I get mad. The Incredible Hulk, Fantasy Island, Love Boat, Hogan's Heroes. Oh, Bill Bixby's dead? All right. Because I was thinking of my favorite Martian, too. Isn't Ray Wallace's croak, too? How about Christopher Lloyd and, never mind, 1-800-449-8686. All those great, great shows that went on to make billions in syndication. Somebody there, someone, I think his name is Billy or Eddie, he gave the green light to pull the plug.